This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finedining podcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
Oh, I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finedining podcast. We listen to Kirk Franklin and the family, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
I want to see Cap!
You guys wouldn't mind having a couple of extra fans.
Oh, Kirk Franklin, this song. Come on. Let me hear it. Bob. Here we go now.
You got me straight, Kirk.
It used to be.
Good morning, Garfield. Sleep well? Well. Aren't we nasty today?
Oh, John Arbuckle. Nasty dude.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have good Christian fun. And well, aren't we nasty today? I feel like you've seen me as a John Arbuckle type. And you laugh because you know that that's true.
I never even considered it.
And that's why you're so drawn to him. As a type, as a character, not attracted to him, obviously.
You think I'm drawn to him?
I think you think he's really funny as like a figure in the landscape of pop culture.
As a joke? Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I keep sending you that picture of him bent over with his ass in the air looking behind him.
That is funny.
John Arbuckle.
Ugh, where'd you find that?
I had to go through a lot of videos to find that.
Oh.
That's one from like John Arbuckle makes like Thanksgiving dinner or something like that.
Yeah. So when I asked you if you were busy last night.
That was what it was.
Okay.
Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, like Christian movies, music, and entertainment, stuff made by Christians, made for Christians, perhaps, and enjoyed by everybody. Just kidding. But we're not here to preach to you or make you go to church or make fun of you either for believing whatever it is you believe.
No, sir.
Unless you believe something bad.
Your shepherd.
If you become dependent on her as your shepherd. We're just here to have fun. Caroline, how are you doing today?
Oh, not great. I woke up sick today, but I'm here. I'm ready to rock. I'm ready to Kirk.
Hey.
And so if just my voice sounds bad, tune me out. I don't know.
Here's the second disclaimer I'll add to this. We do have some gentlemen on the roof of our recording studio,
our lot
that we rented out in West Hollywood for a nominal fee. And there's some men that, you know, they're listeners, and they told us before the show that they love the podcast and that they might chime in from time to time with like various noises and sounds of stuff slamming or being power washed
or rolling across the entire roof
or just various cords being dangled and jangled. Hey, there they are now. See,
here they are.
Shouts out, guys.
It's like Marley and Marley.
There are Kevin Eubanks. They will be punctuating all of our jokes. That's their version of
yeah. This is a good show.
It's a great
good
show.
Good professional show.
Ooh, and we need to talk about Kirk Franklin and the family. Now just Kirk Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lawsuit. I don't know who won because I stopped reading. But let's just say
really,
whoever wins, we lose.
Yeah.
Because I think they sued him for payments on New Nation Project.
Okay.
Because that was just like Kirk Franklin, the New Nation Project,
like
and they weren't credited. Yeah.
I have some thoughts on this.
Interesting. Well, let's get to your thoughts. But before we do, we're going to need some help from a very special guest to talk about Kirk Franklin and the family today. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a comedian. He is a host. He is a podcaster. You may know him from the podcast Culture Kings. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Jacquees Neal.
Listen at that perfectly timed out intro.
Oh, try.
Look, I feel like I'm in church now.
It is a church song.
Here comes
Here
the choir.
It is. Here it goes. Everybody get up.
Come on.
Get up out of your cars right now. Stop driving.
Get out of your cars.
Get out of your cars.
I want you to get out of the 405. I want you to park your car on the 405.
Yes.
I want you to block an exit.
I want you to pull a La La Land and do a sport in advance.
Everybody will understand. Everybody will understand. You're praising.
I'm surprised we haven't seen more car accidents caused by La La Land cosplay. I feel like that will happen in the future.
That's true. I feel like it should happen.
Right? Jacquees, welcome to the show.
What's
Thanks
up,
so
guys?
Much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This
Thank
is like
a, me.
This is fun. I feel like this is a really nice way to start the day. We don't usually record this early.
I know. Hey, I'm sorry, guys.
No, hey, no. It's all good.
I want to fully let everybody know that it is solely my fault that we are recording at 9:30 in the morning. I am going to screening. I'm
Ooh.
Going to a screening. Of Us.
Oh.
With Jordan Peele doing the talk back afterwards.
Oh, what?
I figured that was a good reason.
That was
Can you
good
sneak
enough,
us in
yeah.
your backpack?
I got a big one.
We're seeing it tomorrow.
I know, but not with Jordan Peele answering questions afterward.
Yes.
I can
and
read
I'm
the
gonna
Q&A
have
later.
Some questions.
Yeah,
I'll report back, guys.
Excuse me, Mr. Peele, why was this so scary?
That's my number one question.
Well, anyone in Los Angeles who's gone to anything almost kind of like that sort of event where there's like a talk back or an interview afterwards or like some event at the Arclight knows the sheer terror that is produced in the heart when you see someone maybe a little off get up, take the microphone and say, I don't have a question, more of a comment.
Yeah.
Or they start with, so I'm a screenwriter. And I feel like
Let me give you my opinion on your masterpiece.
I mean, it happens everywhere, but gosh, there's a specific Arclight sort of event where it's like, dear God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a Q&A start to finish go well. Sometimes there's some like gems or nuggets, but usually the people with the good questions have the sense enough to not want to raise their hand and make it about themselves.
Right.
And the people most compelled to do so, it's like an inverse, an inverse proportion with the quality of their question.
It's a weird thing. I've only been to talkbacks of like friends shit. Mm-hmm. Like, do you guys know Lamar Woods?
Lamar Woods? Yeah.
Yeah, I went to his It's a Party screening or whatever. And they did a talkback after that. So it's... That was chill because nobody knew anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
or it was just all friends.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't to meet and talk to a famous person.
Right. Mm-hmm. So everybody was just receptive and chill. But I heard a story. You guys remember Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Uh-huh.
Sure.
And
I love that movie. That
I
movie
do too.
Is
it was
so
fun.
Good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It was fun. What's the kid's name? Jason Segel.
Mm-hmm.
He has like a naked part in the movie. Oh, and at the beginning of the talk back.
Part.
Right, it's huge. Huge naked part. And at the beginning of the talk back, he was like, somebody just straight up stood up and asked, So what was with that weird dick part? Like not knowing he was in the audience or like a part of the...
Oh, it was just like the director and Siegel was... Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. He was like, that was a perfect way to start
the
entire talk back.
Has that guy been to a doctor? His dick looks strange.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Do you have a question you know you're going to ask at all?
I probably won't ask a single thing.
See, normal, sane people don't ask the questions.
I just want to watch the movie one, and then it'll be cool just to hear him talk. I don't... Yeah, if something arises, then I might, but probably not.
Do you guys get the... Do you feel compelled, like, oh, I should ask a question because I have the opportunity and, like, I'm a good person.
Oh, you're saying I should ask it because if I don't, someone else that's bad will probably do it
instead?
It's
like, it's the Bible study conundrum of I better speak up right now, but I should say something.
Yeah.
One, to fill the silence, maybe, and two is like, maybe I'll add to the conversation instead of like going whatever rabbit hole you want me to, Jeff.
I was in this situation recently.
That's so condescending.
In the last couple of weeks where there was like a talk back and there was I was talking with a couple of friends and they said, oh, you should share that with the rest of the group. And I was about to, and then one guy started going instead and he started talking about how he was abused as a young child. So I was like, well, you know what? My thing is not...
I'll pass.
It's hard to follow that.
Yeah.
One time my dad wouldn't let me see Cat Dog. And it was really hard
for
me.
I'm sure that's traumatic. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, cut to Universal Studios, 1998. I'm in the prime of my life, baby.
Why wouldn't he let you watch Cat Dog?
No, he would let me watch Cat Dog.
Okay.
He wouldn't let me go see him.
He wouldn't let you go see Cat Dog live.
Universal at Nickelodeon Studios.
Gotcha.
Universal Studios, Florida. And blah, blah, blah.
That's so funny.
But what's your history with faith and religion?
Man, what an interesting history that I don't always think about just because it was so wild. My grandmother is super religious.
Okay.
Like every black child's grandmother, probably. So that's nothing unique. Mm-hmm. But she was super religious in a controlling way. For instance, as a kid, for a year and a half to 2 years, she said that the Lord told her that she was going to be blessed, so to stop paying bills and mortgage on the house we were living in.
Oh, no.
And convinced my grandfather and a house with me, my mom, and my aunt living in it to all just follow suit. And we lived in this house on the south side of Chicago with no electricity or gas until we were eventually evicted like two years later.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it's like that type of...
Wow.
Why did everyone buy it?
Well, I was 8. So I didn't
what
have...
You were just dumb.
I was the only one like, is this cool? I'm cold as shit.
Like my bed. So cold.
We were living by heaters and stuff. And it's cool. You know what? The thing about it is I was so young that it doesn't affect me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really don't look back on that time as a... I look back on that time as an adult and be like, that shit was wild. But I don't look back on that time and like all these repressed feelings and remember it being like such a terrible time in life. Because I still went outside and played with my friends and found ways to watch TV at other people's houses. Sega Genesis to somebody else's house. Like I still found a way to have a childhood.
Yeah. But grandma was super influential.
But grandma was super. Yeah, she was. And she. So that just gives you an idea of how big faith and religion was in my household. We went to church every Sunday, Bible school on Wednesdays. Church lasted from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. One service. Because it was just too damn long.
Oh my gosh.
So with all of that and then other things, like my mother is a lesbian and my grandmother like stopped talking to her for 2 years when she found out because, you know, it's a big thing in religion.
How did she find out?
I was around 14 when she found out, somewhere around that age. So early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. So it was around that time where I was like, oh, I don't like this shit. This is whack. This is not.
Like church stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like faith in general. I think it's important to have faith in something. But I don't like religion, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
like, I believe in God, but I don't believe in God type thing. Like, I believe in a higher power. I believe there is something to aspire to. I believe that there are many paths to quote-unquote salvation type thing, as opposed to my grandmother and the religious circle that she is around. Everybody on the roof agrees with
the
me.
The roof is like saying,
I believe the Lord himself.
That's the Lord. Be like, you better stop talking that shit, boy.
Excuse me, did you say many paths?
Many paths. That's only one path. Be saved by my son. Which is what my grandmother believes. Yeah.
Did she ever like loosen up a little bit on any of that stuff?
She has. She has loosened up mostly as I grew up. For a few reasons. One, for the first 98 is when we moved out of that house, so I was 12. So for the first 12 years of my life, we all lived together. My mom had me when she was 16, so she was a young mom. And so it was my mom, me, my young aunt, who's only like 10 years older than me. We were raised like brother and sister. Mm-hmm. Oh, my wow. grandfather and my grandma. We were all, and another aunt who eventually moved out, who moved out like mid-90s. But we were all in that house together.
It's close.
So because of that, it was very easy for her to control. So once we kind of all start going our separate ways, I start growing up and having my own opinions. My mother like came out and, you know, started living her life and things like that. I think she started to mellow down because she no longer had direct control. And her only form of control was to pray or just not talk to us. And eventually she was like, well, this is lonely. So she kind of mellowed out. And now it's just to the point where, you know, like I'll call to say hi, you know, talk to her. And if I feel the conversation going, like I feel her getting emotional and, you know, inspirational, I'll just be like, all right, Grandma, I'll talk to you a little later.
You can hear it in her voice when she's kind of revving up for like.
When she's revving up for some religion, man. And I don't want this to sound like I love my grandmother.
Yeah.
And I do look at her as a spiritual leader outside of like the crazy side of her religion. Like she did teach me a lot about just believing in something. So I don't want this to sound like I'm shitting on her or
no, but
the religion
like formational in what you thought.
Yeah.
Or church was like too.
Yeah.
So it's all mixed in there.
It's so weird, man. Yeah. Church is weird.
Yeah.
Church is a weird place. Church should be a good place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For a year and a half. Like, my mother still went to church even afterwards. She went to the same church Obama went to.
Oh, wow.
We went to the same church.
Mr. With Jeremiah Wright?
Jeremiah Wright.
Yeah. I remember that clip so well.
Yeah.
During that election. Because, of course, growing up, Fox News was on all the time. So the clip they always played was,
God damn America.
God bless America. God damn. Damn America.
Yeah. Which is so weird because, and you know, we didn't go to that church as a kid. I mean, we went to that church when my mom moved out and was like, I still want to have like some religious connection.
Yeah.
And I know like that was the clip that was portrayed to America, but this church, like they were performing gay marriages at that church. And this is like 2000.
Yeah.
So this is like, you know.
Kind of revolutionary.
Yeah.
They were pro-gay before Obama was.
Right.
They were
doing like commitment ceremonies. They weren't doing gay marriages. I should say they were doing commitment ceremonies because it was still
illegal back then.
Yeah. Yeah. But they were having that at the church and it was just a progressive church.
That's so cool. So your mom probably felt really at home.
She did.
For the first time in a church and like a
she probably
way.
Did. Yeah. So like, you know, we still had that somewhat. And then I started dating a girl whose family was very religious.
Oh.
And she faked religion. You know, it was like almost like the preacher's daughter syndrome.
Wow, yeah.
Where the preacher's daughter is the wildest girl you'll meet type thing, which I know is probably a terrible stereotype, but in her case, it was true. And
you saw her faking it? Or
I mean,
like,
yeah, well, it's not even so much she would fake it, but it would be we would go to church and she would, you know, catch the Holy Ghost when the pastor would be like, you know, don't have sex before marriage. He was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And then we would go home and have sex. it would be like that type of thing. Like around, she is religious, but she would stray every chance she got type thing.
She had some loopholes.
We all do. But when they found out that my mom was a lesbian, this was like the final nail in the coffin for me. When they found out my mom was a lesbian, like they wanted her to break up with me.
Oh my gosh.
Her family. Oh. And then it even had me at that point questioning, like, well, is something wrong with my mom? Or, you know, something like things like that. And, you know, she was like, I don't know if I can still do this. Their family had to talk to my grandmother, be like, well, you know, we're praying. And this whole process, I'm just like, this is not right. I don't like this. This isn't the type of religion or faith that I choose to believe in.
Yeah, so the kind of faith that makes it so a family has to have a UN summit
right.
over your mother's viability and your viability.
Exactly, you know, and we got past it, quote unquote, past it. Like her father was like, "What you expect him to do?" He probably didn't know how to tell people that, which I appreciate that. But even the flip side to that is, who gives a shit if I would tell? Like, it's not your fucking business. Like, you know, but it was at that point where I started to realize that, yeah, the faith I grew up with is not the faith I'm going to continue to follow, like, as in my adult, into my adulthood.
As you were growing up, were you, I mean, beyond just like sort of the cultural, social aspect of church, were you also just like, I love God? Like, not, were you engaged on that level, I mean, in a big way, too? Or was it kind of like...
Not really, man. This is so heavy. I feel like this is so heavy, guys.
No, please. Welcome to our show.
Be heavy. Be as heavy as the people on the roof.
Yes.
Jackies.
They stopped. They listened to that. It's weird because, no, when I was a kid, like, here's the thing. Like, the church I grew up with, shout out Star Faith. Pastor Freeman, who's passed away, so I don't know why I'm shouting her out.
We're like, passed away.
I'm sorry.
But
we say he passed.
He passed. But I, like, growing up, because, you know, I started going to church at a young age, very young, as a baby. But a lot of my cousins also went to the same church.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, going to church was fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like,
I got to see my homies.
Yeah,
I got to see my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to see my cousins. We got to have fun. We got to make fun of all the adults catching the Holy Ghost. We got to fake that we would catch the Holy Ghost. It was just like playing church for us, you know?
Yeah, that's prime parody material as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when I got tired, I would just fall asleep until the church service was over. So, like, church was perfect as a child. And, like, I would probably say the only time I truly, truly, like, made the decision for myself to say, you know what, I think I care about this, is when I was dating that girl.
Oh.
Only because I felt like I had to be a part of that part of her world. Because at that point, I had left, you know, I wasn't with my grandmother anymore, and I was almost out of high school and all this. So that was the only time I've ever been like, I think I love God.
Yeah.
And that lasted very short. It was a very short.
I'm just so interested in those moments, you know, when it does kind of cross over into your personal, like, inner being, and like what that means, especially later on when you're like, I don't really agree with that anymore. Like, what do you do with those things?
And right.
How do you...
I
talk about it, you know?
I threw it away real quick because I didn't like who I was becoming.
Mm.
Like, I stopped hanging out with friends, which isn't always a bad thing. Like, that's also a part of a growth process, like, too. I also became very, very jealous in
of
that
her?
Specific relationship because I was like, oh, I changed a lot for you type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would get mad if something didn't happen that I was like, well, I would like this to happen, which is just an unhealthy.
Yeah. A keeping score.
Yeah, it's unhealthy. And like, I was 17 and like years old. So I was a child, somewhat. But still, you know, so it was that was the only time. And I was like, I don't like this version of who I am. So I'm done.
But it's interesting because with all this stuff, and I think a lot of reasons that people prolong sometimes in faith sometimes, and maybe it's just a thread or maybe it's stronger than that, but even when it's like, God, I'm not sure about this, there's always a person or a group of people that is pretty solid and tangible where you believed in her, at least right. for that time. Like, oh, I want to be with this person. This person is cool.
Yeah.
This person is, valuable and worth investing in. And so that creates, like, these guardrails on which your faith function for a brief amount of time.
Right.
And I wonder how much that's true of most people who believe in that stuff, and especially when it comes from something inherited, or like there's been so many times in my life where I feel like it was just easier to be Christian than not, just because well, if I'm not Christian, then all my friends are gonna be really annoying to me.
Right.
They'll be like,
right.
"Are you okay? Like, what's wrong with you?" So like the social currency of maintaining that is greater and a lot less annoying or frustrating than leaving it.
Right. It is, man, because, you know, in that relationship specifically, is I felt like I had to be that if I wanted to be with this person, you know?
Would she ask you, like, I need you to be my spiritual leader?
No.
Or she would be like, I just need you to be interested in this stuff.
It's not even that. It was more just, it was just like an understanding, like, if you're a part of my life and you're going to be coming over my house all the time,
yeah,
my parents would probably prefer you not to be, you know, this tattooed person who wants to rap and act and, you know,
yeah,
cursing all the time and shit like that.
Like,
yeah, you know,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was more of that than anything else.
Yeah.
I wonder how that stuff... I'm always so curious. I feel like a very old man when I say stuff like this. But I wonder how kids do it now.
It's much harder now, I would assume, right? Or would you think it's easier?
I think it might be easier.
Oh, okay.
Dating stuff?
Dating stuff.
Oh, dating stuff. Okay.
Well, gotcha. Because I wonder now if there's so many different expressions of faith or Christianity available,
right,
that the acceptable ones, instead of them getting narrower, they've gotten broader. So the idea of, like, what is a Christian, because it's broadened and because there's so many more voices available for, like, examples and, like, oh, well, I'm kind of like this. I'm not like this. Whereas
right.
at that time, even, you know, you're not 50, but
right,
you were
right,
still
right.
growing up in, like,
it was
the
still
aughts.
Weird. It was a yeah. different time.
It's a different time
yeah.
where you don't have as much just resources available to
right.
see, like, oh, you can do it this way, you can do it that way, you can do it kind of this flavor, this kind of denomination.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's just, if there's just more acceptance in that sense, and kids don't feel pressured to, like, well, all I know is this thing I've grown up with in my family or with my immediate friend group. I don't know anything else, so it's either this or nothing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
now it feels like, and maybe I'm too online, but it just feels like, oh, it's this or this or this or this or this or
right.
this or this. It doesn't feel as binary as it used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a big reason too is, like, everybody is so much more comfortable being opinionated now than we used to be. And I don't even know if it's more comfortable, but everybody's a lot more vocal in being opinionated now. So because of that, it's probably led to a comfortability with kids nowadays, just feeling comfortable saying, you know, yeah,
like,
this is what it is.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
But then the flip side to that I always, like, I've only lived in Chicago and LA. So I've lived in two pretty big cities, right? But then I'll go home sometimes and hang out with my friends, like, back in Chicago. Or I was just in Arizona a few days ago, and we stayed in an Airbnb. And you'll hear, like, people talk, like, how we talk in our very liberal, progressive bubble.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a huge section of this country, black, white, young, old, who don't give a shit. Like, they don't think the same, you know, like, they were talking about, not to get super heavy, we were talking about
Michael Jackson?
No, it was Kodak Black.
I don't
Black.
Know why I brought that up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about MJ real quick. They were talking about Kodak Black and Young Ma and how he, like, harassed her or whatever, but they were like, I don't get why he say that was, it was two women. He didn't say nothing wrong. She a female. He should want to fuck her. And I'm just thinking, like, this conversation could not fly if we were back home in LA. Like,
yeah.
But for them, these two black women.
Yeah.
That's not, they don't give a fuck. They don't care about, like, somebody saying, they think we're weird. you know, and it's a lot of people who feel that. So I'm going in a really long tangent to come back to the point of we may think that, and I think that as well, but there's a huge chunk of the section of this country, especially in the religious world, where they're like, no, I don't care how much the world is changing. This is what it is.
Yeah. I wonder about that because and the more I think about it, it's like there is so many more options available. Of course, there was always like libraries and stuff. You could always go get a book or something. And I wonder if there's more resource or voice available to just confirm whatever existing opinion you
exactly.
Had.
I mean, Fox News is an example of that, or our most recent general election is an example of that. You can just go find what you believe.
Yeah.
And there's enough information out there to fill your life with that. Like, you don't,
so even if you have, like, you know, a kid out nowhere or whatever who's who goes to a really conservative church, probably isn't like, oh, I'm going to go on Twitter and find out, like, what the progressives think about this.
Their Twitter is all
conservative. Maybe not. Yeah, you know. So maybe they do have, I don't want to, like, blanket statement anybody that's not living in the greatest cities in the world.
Yes.
But
New York, Los Angeles, and then a bunch of bullshit in between.
Yeah, but I imagine you're right. Like, I think like, there's always going to be people who believe on the conservative side of the spectrum, like, no matter what direction the country's going in.
Yeah.
And so you're going to hear those conversations. Yeah. But I hope there's a little more option for, like, the next generation coming
up. I just wonder with faith stuff, because I would have been so thrilled as a kid to see. And I was. I remember growing up and meeting different kinds of Christian than the ones that, like, were in the church that my parents would take me to, and going to a different church closer to downtown Houston and meeting, like, very strange people who, like, participate in church stuff where it's like, oh, you can do that?
Same.
I didn't know. Mm-hmm. So I just think of that and, like, being able to experience that on a personal level, but then just globally, and then being able to, like, you know, turn on my podcast app and find two young, freaking hilarious kids
having some good Christian fun.
With some fresh takes on everything. Ooh, just having fun at a Christian
way. Changes every week.
Definitely not just replaying the greatest hits of the same five bullet points they hit every
totally
damn
totally unmoored by any framework at all.
You know, so I wonder about
that. I mean,
that. I
think that's a good point, though, man. Like, I grew up just around black church. You know, that's all I grew up around. So by the time I got to high school and started going to church with much lighter skinned folks, like, I was like, oh, this is weird, man.
Like,
oh, you drinking beer in church? Man, you going to hell. Or,
whoa,
like, oh, these hippie
church?
Churches? And, wow. Like, that was something that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, y'all different, man. Y'all not praying, like, all the time. And,
yeah.
Y'all just chill and having fun and not rigid. And
yeah.
And then I remember I was working at a place called GFS Marketplace. Shout out GFS.
This is
Gordon
in Chicago?
Food Service. It was in Chicago. And it was my first job. So I was like 16 or 17, something like that. And somebody I was working with, like, had to leave early because they were going to church. And I was working the cash register, and she had on this tight red dress, like, came up to basically just below her thigh, just below, like, the midway point of her thighs or whatever. And so, you know, 17 years old, I'm like, you looking good. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the dude in my line was an old black dude. And I said, man, I want to go to your church. Just being dumb and not cool. But that's not what he responded to. He responded to, what church you going to, young blood?
Oh.
And I was like, I told him the church I was going to. He was like, what's she doing right there? That ain't godly. You need to quit playing before you go to hell. And I was just like, oh, man. So one part of my brain is like, oh, you can wear that to church? Hell yeah. And then this dude in front of me was like, no, you can't.
So like, no mashed potatoes?
No, right. So 2552, sir? Would that be credit or cash?
Whoa.
And he was just like, yeah, no, you can't. He was reinforcing the other side. Was like, nah, this is the church that you should know, and blah, blah, blah. So,
which sometimes so that kind of stuff, I was just like, yeah, that's true. Like, it feels more right for some reason. So I should believe that instead of like what my body and everything else would like rather do, you know, or agree with.
It's so weird, man. Ah, religion.
Yeah, church religion can be a pretty potent engine for slut shaming.
Yay!
Yes.
Are we still calling it slut shaming? I feel like even
that. I haven't heard that name in a while. I haven't heard that phrase in a while.
Yeah.
I mean,
speaking for the sluts of America.
Sluts of America, unite. Assemble.
Unite. Pull together what other clothing you have.
What's the like signal in the sky for that? Is it just...
It's a bra on the floor.
There you go. That makes sense.
Which could be she also went comfort. Home. Yeah, yeah. She's comfort. At home. Let's have all day. Kinds of days.
So then what's the new term that I don't know?
I don't know.
If it's not the SS.
Not sure. Don't worry about
it. Let's just say SS. SS is SS. I don't like the SS.
I don't know what the new term would be.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's okay.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Where are you at now? What would you say?
Religion and faith-wise?
Yeah.
Pretty indifferent.
Yeah.
I believe there is a God. I don't believe there is the God.
Mm-hmm. If that Do you makes believe he's sense. White?
I believe God is some version of Michael Jordan.
Oh,
but
man.
Like all the good parts.
Without,
like,
without the Hitler
without
mustache.
Without the Hitler mustache. He's some version of Michael
and the
Jordan
gambling
or
problem.
Yeah. This is a bad guy.
No. The good parts. The Space Jam loving.
Space Jam, the dunking.
Great attitude.
What people don't realize
mentor.
Is the flood happened because of a gambling debt guy. He's like, well, I lost a bet.
God Oops. Damn.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know where I am. I don't. I'm at a place where I don't need to be anywhere.
Yeah,
that
that's
makes
okay.
any sense.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at a place where the only thing I believe in is just be a good person, which I know is super cliched. Who doesn't say that? But
it's so important, though.
Yeah, just be a good person and be happy and. Golden rule, and you know, the only time I get super religious is right before a plane takes off. That's the only time I'm like, Father God, in
just
the name
in
of
case.
Jesus, I ask you to cover this plane with the blood of
I
Jesus.
I love you. I believe in the gospel 100% yes. start to finish.
Yeah.
Even that weird Old Testament stuff, I believe in as well.
God's starts, like looking down, lowers his glasses. Exactly like, oh, like, someone's in Dallas, what? Fort Worth
Hello?
Today.
Operator.
Start speaking in tongues. Hi, Abbo, plane.
Was that a thing growing up, tongue speaking?
Yes.
I want a Miata. Man. I want a Mitsubishi. I want a Honda.
Yes.
Okay.
Shonda was always like
Shonda.
Something.
Shonda
rhymes. speaking of tongues was an everyday occurrence.
Tongues?
I faked it.
Nice.
I faked it too.
I did too.
Yeah. I faked it.
I thought it was real.
I faked it. Wait, when did you fake it?
8th grade. I got really involved in my good friend's like Pentecostal church.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say slumber party. Like it's a Bloody Mary. It's like,
okay.
Let's do speaking in tongues.
Honestly, we probably would have. That's like our Ouija board. You know, like, let's give us a
it's
try.
The Bible.
Yeah.
God so loved the world. It's just your finger going.
Yeah.
And there's something to that too. The idea that because the counter narrative to that Christian-wise is like, well, if you're a good person for no reason, then who cares? But there's also something wonderful about the fact that there's no ulterior motive or hidden intention or other reason other than it is good.
Yeah. I mean, listen, dude, I love my grandmother and, you know, the church. But, you know, the churches we grew up in, and we see this with all the mega churches and shit like that, they preach prosperity. You know, and it's something I just don't like. You know, they preach, if you love God and do this and give us money, then God will bless you. That's why we lived in that house for that long, because in her mind, God said, I was going to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have to pay bills anymore. You're going to be rich type thing. And that is, I mean, not to get too deep, but that is a form of control. That is a form of, especially in Black church, where... You know, church was, which is why I love gospel music still and things like that, because back when we were slaves and shit, that's all we had, you know, was at that Sunday to fellowship. And you know, pray for a better day and we will overcome and all this stuff like that, you know. And the way that, and, you know, a lot of the slave owners saw that, and the way they tried to take that away from us was to say, well, no, you got to do this, because if you do, then you will be blessed with a better life. This is the only way you will be blessed with a better life. You know, you will get money and, you know, you won't be a slave anymore, blah, 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 blah. And so that just got ingrained in that community to this day, where, like, prosperity is a way that a lot of these churches get their money and control and things like that, because they say, yeah, pay your tithes and offering, because if you don't, God won't bless you, you know, type thing. Yeah. And you want to be blessed by God, right? You want to, you want him to heal you. You want to have money. You don't want to ever hurt for nothing, type thing.
Yeah.
And I just hate, I hate it so much.
I've never thought about that, though, that the idea of prosperity theology, because it says rampant in white churches.
It is.
It is in black churches.
It is.
But the idea in black churches, that it's almost like inherited trauma in a way.
It kind of is, you know. And like, this is just from like me reading and stuff like that and talking to people, you know, older people and things like that. But so don't take what I'm saying as the gospel. But this is just what I've learned.
No, we don't fact check anything on this show.
Yeah.
Our listeners know this.
This is just what I've learned from reading and talking and stuff like that, and just how church was back in those times, where it was a control thing, because we were taking church for as the only day that we had to ourselves. And it was like, we don't like this.
And I imagine too, like, wealth literally was like power and like capital in some way. And so what you could have really did change your circumstances in a big way.
Yeah.
And I felt like the attitude I got in a lot of church things was like, you had to be kind of delicate about it, you know, and like, yes, we're tithing, but, you know, God isn't a cosmic, you know, jukebox where you put in money and he'll do things for you or something. But also you should have some money. Yeah. And like, it's a, and I think like maybe a lot of like the white brand of like wealth worship or whatever is that like Protestant work ethic of like, you have to earn everything you've got. And if you are poor or unfortunate, it's probably because you didn't work very hard, or you're like living off of someone else or something.
It's
like
crazy.
That. Yeah.
Which is just, yeah, it, it's so funny how much society sounds exactly like that.
Yeah.
You know, where or a lot of the bad parts of society, or as far as how we treat other people and think like that means worth, type thing. So I just have never liked the prosperity version of faith and church and things like that.
I'd love to talk to like a very smart adult who loves it.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just thinking about it more than 2 seconds.
Yeah.
If I do this, God will do that. Think about it for more than two, like, give it 15 minutes of thought.
Yeah.
And will it still hold up?
Yeah.
And it does remind me, because Carl Tart was talking on our show about the Joel Osteen memes that were going around during Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah.
And I did
when
find
Joel Osteen wouldn't open the doors of his church to all the people who were displaced by the flood.
And I did find one of them, friend, hey, I'm going to be in town this weekend. Can I crash at your place? Me. It's just a picture of Joel
Osteen's
face.
It's just a picture of Joel Osteen's face. Like, don't know about that one, Chief.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a cruel message for people who are actually like not doing well financially, or like had terrible circumstances happen to them.
Well,
it's like Job being like, well, what were you doing with God last week?
Yeah.
You know?
It's weird, man.
Like, it's like, your fault.
There's so many things. Like, with even my grandma was like, why didn't you leave this church? Like, another church she went to. My grandmother needed, like, some type of letter or something. I can't remember. To get something from the government. And they were like, well, can you have your church write the letter? I can't remember what it was in general. But it would have gotten her more money out of something.
Mm-hmm.
Or gotten her into some type of apartment or anything. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember. And her church told her, now, and it was a matter of like, yeah, you a place where you can live and get have a little bit easier time with money and stuff like that. And her church told her, we won't write you that letter because you haven't paid tithes in a week, in like a month.
What?
And a lot of my cousins got up and left the church, like, and never went back.
That's
and fair. And it's just like, this is what you, this is the church you believe in. Like, they won't write you a letter so you can live a little bit better because you haven't paid tithes.
Because of, like, their own greed, basically. Yeah. I mean, that's a harsh word, but...
No, it's true. Yeah. It's not a harsh word. It's the correct word.
I know.
Yeah, greed's fine. It's not an overstatement.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whenever money crosses into church stuff, it's just so
It's
foul.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's so messed up.
Go to patreon.com/goodchristianfund.
Not a church. Not a church.
We're
a business.
Not a church.
Not a church. We need this money to keep going to church.
I need it.
Y'all know how expensive Ubers are in L.A.?
Yes. And God's favor will fall on you?
I do Uber to Caroline's place for every recording. Thanks for sharing your story and your experience,
man.
Yeah,
it's so interesting. Thank you.
Let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more Good Christian Fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
to
like...
To feel as incredible as you could feel.
To exercise more, to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry. There's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/goodchristianfund today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfund. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree.
The
first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's betterhelp.com/goodchristianfund.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. Let's dive in. Come on, let's go. In addition to Kirk Franklin stuff... Sorry, is it worse when I don't acknowledge anything happened?
No,
and everyone's
perfect.
Like, am I going crazy? What else were you listening to, like Christian music or gospel wise at that time?
At what time? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
When you were growing up. No, it's okay. I would have zoned out too.
I was listening to mostly gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't introduced to Christian music.
Like CCM? Like.
Yeah, until high school.
We can say white stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't introduced to that white shit until high school.
It's for the best.
No, I wasn't introduced to that realm of the Christian music until much later in life. So it was all gospel music growing up.
Did you get
gospel music and... For whatever reason, R. Kelly's gospel music. Because he made a gospel CD.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh,
as it turns out, it was a false gospel.
Yep, it was a very false gospel.
Seems so. Wow. Yeah.
God grief. Yeah. Did I say God grief? I meant to say good grief.
You did,
good
but...
Grief. Autobiography wow. title? God grief?
Yes.
Trademarking it. Oh, boy. Okay, so gospel music like BB and CC.
Yes, BB and CC, Donnie McClurkin. And you know what's weird? I didn't have a huge barometer for who sang all these songs.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew them from church. You know, it wasn't until a little later in life where I was like, oh, let me go find out who sang this song. But then by that point, so many people had sang the songs.
Yeah.
So I'd like to try to trace it to, you know, the original source was not necessarily difficult, but I was too lazy to... I was just like, let me just go find a song I like it type thing.
Yeah.
And it was whatever popped up. I was like, this sounds like I get used to when I was a kid. But yeah, BB and CC were huge. Kirk Franklin, which I know we're going to talk about, was my jam growing up. It was the one person I was like, oh, I know his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything else was just what the Star of Faith choir sang that like I acquired and loved.
So Kirk Franklin is interesting. I'm trying to think of a good... kind of analog or comparison point, but there's not really anyone.
He's so strange.
There's no one who's like made a name for himself completely in a gospel music sense that could also just, after decades and decades of a career, just kind of like flow in and out, do a thing on Ultralight Beam with Kanye, breeze on out of there, and just had like that sort of fluency.
Right.
Where he doesn't feel... marginalized by a gospel label, but he feels empowered by it in some way. He was a prodigy. His parents gave him up because they were young parents. So he went to go live, I believe, with his aunt, who was like in her 60s at the time, or it might have been his grandmother. He started working as a choir director or like the music minister at age 11.
Yeah. It's insane.
With the adult choir.
Yes.
Yeah. He was directing the adult choir.
So clearly, like, kind of a music-wise, just kind of like a genius person.
Yeah.
Someone whose mind was definitely ahead of other people. Some other fun things. He's primarily a composer, arranger, conductor. And this is what's so interesting, because I think growing up, I had this perception like, oh, the singer Kirk Franklin.
Yeah. He never sang.
No. He's just a guy who's a hype man for himself.
Guys, I felt so dumb because it really wasn't until researching for this episode that I was like, it's a choir.
Yeah.
He's just a choir director?
He's a choir director.
Did you think he was doubling his voice?
I just thought like he was a part of it, or he like soloed at some point.
He would write the songs.
Yeah.
And like,
I know he like, yeah, he's the creative, but also his branding, like all of his album covers, it's not like the choir is with him or the family. It's him. Like alone.
Get that money.
It's
his
insane.
Image like creation is really interesting to me.
Yeah. He is known for, you know, like he just hypes up like melodies, and then everybody starts singing.
Like I was watching a music video, and I was like, "How are they going to do this?" like him performing the song, and he is on stage. This is like his most recent single. He's on stage at the mic doing the like hip up, hip up, and then he is singing to the choir that's in the audience, and they're doing all the singing and everything. And they're, so they're like talking with each other.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. And then he has a whole band behind him. And he's doing essentially nothing.
Yeah, he's not doing anything.
He's like Jason Sudeikis doing The Running Man and What Up With That. But if that was a career, or it would be like, it would be like going to a movie. It'd be like going to see Us as you're doing later today. And the whole time during the movie, Jordan Peele's in front of the screen being like, watch this.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And it would be like starring Jordan Peele.
Right.
So strange.
Like, oh, okay.
And it's only his face on the posters and everything like that.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
It's very weird.
He has such a weird dynamic for his fame. And that's not to take anything away from him because it is his brainchild.
It is. Like he is the guy that wrote all this music and does the arranging.
But we don't think if to use like somebody who probably everybody knows, it's like instead of Beyonce being on her cover, it's the people who wrote her song.
Exactly. Yeah.
exactly.
And so in some way, like almost is more integrity a little bit because like the one who actually created it gets the credit.
Gets the credit. Yeah.
But then also the people who perform it get no credit.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely the opposite of the death of the author theory, where it's like the full life of the author.
Yeah.
And so I gotta hand it to him on some level too.
I'm trying to think of, because even in gospel music, all the other giants of it that you would think of, like Aretha Franklin or Mahalia Jackson or Andre Crouch or Fred Hammond, it's them singing
them.
It. And oftentimes not even, Andre did, but like not even writing their own stuff.
Right.
So it's almost like a very strange, I don't know if that's a genre now because I'm not familiar enough, unfortunately, with
this
music.
It's not.
Yeah.
Like the Kirk Franklin way?
Well, yeah, just like that model of like, you just write it and then you'd like dance and pump people up.
Yeah.
He's like the children's choir director, like doing hand motions like a lot of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And you know what's so funny too is I can just speak from experience. People would get so hyped for his hype parts.
Oh, really?
That's what everybody, like, even, like, you know, with Melodies from Heaven, like, everybody loves the song, but...
Hey, let's listen to it a little bit.
Here we go. Like, this starts
off... But you're
off,
waiting for him
But you're
like,
waiting for him to be like...
Do his little yelp.
Melodies! And then that's the part where everybody jump up like, yeah!
Well, he does contextualize it in a way where it's not... stiff, like it's not a, it doesn't feel like an antiquated genre. I love how it sounds like people are like singing so low out of their range.
The bottom of their range.
Oh my gosh. I love it so much. This is one of my favorite songs.
I think this might be my favorite
this
of his.
This is great.
We did a church episode recently on Culture Kings.
Uh-huh.
And like we got like a little choir to come in and we sang this.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Take
oh my
me.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Open close.
Yes.
Did everyone memorize his parts?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did his
you
part.
Did? You did? Okay.
Yeah. I was Kurt.
Yeah. And he doesn't even rap either.
Nothing.
Does he? No.
Nah. Here comes my favorite part. Here he goes.
Here we go. Everybody.
Well, that's why I'm so...
It's kind of great.
No, it's so wonderful.
Great. It's so great.
But it is like, I think it's just confusing on some level.
Yeah.
Because if you watch interviews with him now, his voice is not in good shape.
Yeah.
It is like very raspy. There's... I don't know how far any of us have delved into like the dark web of... as Kirk Franklin. But like specific theories, because there are some aesthetic differences recently, face-wise, and then like the way he sounds. So I did see many YouTube commenter and a few Reddit threads about Kirk Franklin has been replaced by a clone or by his own twin brother we didn't know about.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
You have?
Or just like, man, this ain't the same Kirk Franklin from the 90s or the early 2000s.
I mean, he looks significantly different. And I hope that's not rude to say. Like, I don't. Do you think it's rude to say?
No.
I don't know.
No, especially if it's true.
Like, well, usually when we talk about this and we tiptoe around it, it's usually around like women and like, oh, my God, work done. So I don't feel like.
No, it's, I mean, that's like.
And do what
like
you need to do.
That's like somebody saying Michael Jackson looks significantly different. Like, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He
went from it's not a value judgment.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Just, I mean, as long as. I feel like what's interesting about that, though? Like, what's like, what does that bring to his story? What does that tell about him? You know, like,
he has an interesting story.
Yeah.
Too.
Do you want to tell us a little bit of his story? I mean, tell what you know.
I mean, it's not even so much like his whole story, but I remember like a huge deal in the church was when he came out that he was addicted to porn.
Yeah. Okay, I saw a little bit about this, but I purposely like didn't read too much because I wanted to hear.
Because you thought you'd get turned on.
it would.
Come on.
You would just start listening melodies on repeat.
Boot up.
Porn up.
Porn up. Porn up. Yeah, where he was like, I wouldn't even like, you know, masturbate. I would just watch it from beginning to end and just and then like get so ashamed.
So much worse.
That was much worse. I am a firm believer. Listen.
So much worse.
Let me tell you something, man.
That's a freak.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? You watch
I don't
from
care
beginning
if you
end?
Watch porn or not, but if you have ever seen the end of a porn video, something is wrong with
you. You're a sociopath.
You're crazy.
I know all the credits, the key grip. I know who produced what. What?
Yeah. I know about the ending, the denouement.
Yeah.
The blooper reel at the end.
You know who's watched the whole porn? You skip to the end or, you know, or you
finish. That's
such
a weird detail.
It's a weird detail.
I watched it beginning to end. How did people react?
Oh, it was a big deal, and the church was like, "Well, should we stop listening to Kirk Franklin?"
Oh, like, or were they like, "Oh, let's support him. You know, he's trying to be better."
Well, because because he said he was healed from it from God, so that was like, "See, cool. God will heal you from everything."
More porn.
That dude's still watching porn.
He did. Well, there's an interesting shift in his career too, where like. A lot of this stuff with the family, and then some of the stuff like New Nation Project, and in the 90s, is mostly what they call vertical songwriting, where you're writing songs to God, for God, you are so good, blah, 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 blah. And then he started doing horizontal songwriting, where it's like two other people are like, I've messed up, and there's lyrics on some of his later albums like, I found, you know, I've used Dirty Magazine, like where he talks about it explicitly, like in the songs.
With the choir?
He's watched some porn. No, I don't think they did that. But that'd be from start to finish.
Start to finish. Jacking off all night. Actually, not, I guess.
That would be a great song, man.
Yeah. Actually, should we do that song real quick, you guys? Yeah. No, but there was a shift, and he is definitely like slightly poppier than he was before.
Yeah.
I mean, Kirk Franklin and the Family, the debut album, was so big. It was the highest selling gospel album ever.
Yeah.
I think up to that point. It sold over 2 million copies.
Wow.
And it kind of, there was another song you flag on here. That's Why We Sing, which is the.
This is another one of
my favorites.
The
lead track. Which is kind of a reworking of His Eyes on the Sparrow.
Mm-hmm. For some who don't understand our purpose, and may not understand our praise.
I would love to be this person, by the way.
That just talks.
Yeah.
And intros the song.
Because you can't really screw up if you have energy.
And then this song, he just tells them what to sing.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's
from
amazing.
Most of the song. Not the first verse, but from here on out, like, after the first verse.
Right here? It's like he's reminded. Yeah, like it is like a stage prep.
That's the reason. That's all. That's his contribution.
I want to know if you can help me say glory.
We sing the praises to you. Oh, nope. See, I fucked it up. That's why I can't be Kirk.
Sorry, we're out of order.
Hey, it's not so easy, is it?
It's not easy. Kirk is vindicated right now.
Every little thing he says is super scripted to the beat.
Yeah. But this song, I remember, man, when I was a kid and this song came out, it was a big deal in church. Like, every choir rushed to sing mm-hmm. And then make their own versions of it and stuff like that. And church TV was a big deal.
I don't know church TV. What's that?
It wasn't a channel or a show, but just TV on church, I should say. It was
okay.
a big deal in my house. So, like, if we weren't a church, church was on the TV a lot throughout the week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this song was just on repeat. Like, mm-hmm. so many different churches were just singing,
oh,
Why
wow.
We Sing, Why We Sing. And so that's why Kirk got so popular. Because, and this is probably so wrong, but...
Because he was kind there of a babe.
Well, that man is hot. But, like, church music, gospel, there was no new gospel music.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There was still CC and BB, but, like, there was no new, fresh gospel music.
Right.
You're kind of singing the standards a lot.
You're
of
singing
the
standards a lot yeah. of time.
It felt like the last one to kind of pioneer that stuff was Andre Crouch.
Yeah.
It was definitely, like, a baton pass between him and Kirk in terms of, like, who was the guy
right.
who was anointed for that stuff.
Well, there's something
anointed.
So powerful about his music, too, because, like, his music is written to be sung in community and, like, in church, basically. Like, that's what his music videos are. Like, he's in church every time.
Right.
And, like, as opposed to maybe a CCM artist that's, like, for your own taste that you listen to in your car or whatever.
Right, right.
Like, this really translated to, like, every generation and made it work.
It functions more like contemporary worship.
Yeah, it's like yeah, it's like worship music, and so it worked out.
Mm-hmm. Another reason why this song was so popular is because it was easy to learn.
Because you could hear what's coming.
Because you hear what he said. Yeah. And for kids, that was important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, a lot of songs I grew up with and people would sing in church outside of, like, the classics, you would like it, but you wouldn't know it. But this dude comes out, and he's just literally telling you what to sing.
He's a human bouncing ball over the world.
So kids could sing it, and people would love
it.
That's
so sweet.
And then he flipped it and then just started screaming over songs, and kids was like, I like this man. Because he was just hype and like exciting.
Yeah.
Well, this is, and I think the Kirk Franklin I knew primarily growing up was more the Stomp Revolution stuff, which was more the fusion between like the hip hop and gospel stuff.
Yes, that's the Kirk that really blended. It's like, all right, you don't just have to be a church like head to appreciate this. When dude just straight up, Shabak, hallelujah, Shabak, praise. And people in the hood were just like, ha, Shabak, yeah, buddy, Shabak, homie. And then just stomp. I don't even know the words.
Well, I just remember on Revolution that he is, it's kind of a rap move to like respond to criticism in the text of your song rather than like to do it like an interview, like, oh, a hater's gonna hate or whatever.
Yeah.
But he starts with a rebuke of,
I love
Book
this.
Of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 16. And
oh,
7.
No, you know what? No, not Revolution.
I love this song, though. Neither shall they
thirst anymore. I'm thinking of the beginning of Stomp, where he says,
wait,
to all the people out there who think that gospel music has gone too far.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and then it hits.
Oh,
yeah. Do you want a revolution? Do you want a revolution? Who didn't love this shit?
It's so fun.
Yeah, this so feels fun. Pretty objectively great.
Wait, so when you would sing this, like his gospel stuff in church, would someone play the role of Kirk usually? Or was it like everybody?
When he changed to this, this did not come to church.
Oh, okay. But like this older
was,
stuff.
This was MTV.
This was like MTV secular.
Okay.
Like it was still gospel and people still messed with it and liked it. But choirs stopped singing his shit.
Oh, really?
Once he passed, like Silver and Gold, and like all like his first two albums is Church Kirk. This is music video Kirk.
So with Church Kirk, though, was like the choir director of church. Would he be the Kirk or she be the Kirk?
Okay, yeah.
Like there was still one. Kirk.
There's still one
who
Kirk.
Would be, like do the hype.
Yeah,
okay.
There's still one Kirk, so or fun. It would be a choir director and just like somebody.
Okay.
Like one additional person,
okay.
like standing by the side, who
That's
would.
Great.
Sing instead of talk.
Or like, I was thinking of the beginning of Stomp.
Those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know,
now you know.
Glory, glory!
Yes.
So good.
You
I mean, like the laugh. How amazing would it be to glide through life like this? Like, as a performer, as a person at your job or work, like, most of the people are doing the heavy lifting, and then you just pop in for like, yeah.
Yeah.
Love
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah.
And just like, GP, are you with me?
God's property, that is a different entity.
That's a different entity.
From the family.
There's Kirk Franklin and the family, the whole new nation, and then GP,
mm-hmm.
Which is God's property. And how crazy. I mean, that is a hip-hop thing, to nickname your, like, G-Unit. Is like, gangster unit.
Oh, yeah. Like you your know? Backup singers.
Yes.
Yeah.
GP. Huh.
And you just name them.
Have you happened to hear any of his recent work at all?
I have not. And I didn't even know he had any recent. Like, how recent are we talking?
This year, actually.
Oh, shit. Really?
He has a new song that I think sounds a little bit like Suit and Tie.
Oh, hit me.
By Mr. Timberlake.
Oh.
This is a song called Love Theory. That's going to be on his next album, I think.
Oh, that's exactly
brothers and sisters.
Right?
I want to
welcome you back. Is Jay-Z on this?
No.
And then he did a whole album with Tori Kelly.
That's really? Right. He produced most of that your stuff. Chapter. Hallelujah. How can it be? I think this is a good song.
I love it.
This is the video you watch where he's just like,
where he's on stage.
Yeah.
And they're singing.
Here we
so
go.
Funny.
Amazing.
And then he has a very specific hand motion that he does. It's like that, like that.
That's
well,
so
you'll know
great.
It when it gets
is
it's
his
great.
Dance steps.
Uh-huh.
This is dope. I like this.
This is good. Also, I forgot to talk about this in the history of him. The first song he ever wrote was a reworking of Elton John's Benny and the Jets, but it was called Jesus is Coming Back.
Jesus is coming back.
So he started as Christian Weird Al. Jesus coming back.
And he did that probably when he was 5.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, sure.
He was a child.
And I'm doing that now as a 29-year-old man.
Yeah.
That just shows the kind of talent gap there. Also, another fun fact, for the 1999 New Nation tour, the sponsor of the tour was Honey Nut Cheerios.
Love that. Love that.
Yes.
Of course.
Okay. Come on, Honey Nut.
Honey Nut Cheerios, are you with me?
Oh, yeah.
Buzz, we got buzz, honey buzz. Coming our way.
Lower cholesterol.
Gluten-free Cheerios, are you with me?
Oh, another song you flagged for us, Brighter Day. This is on the rebirth of Kirk
yes.
Franklin.
And this was my reintroduction to Kirk Franklin.
Okay.
Like, it's never like I left, but like a lot of the songs, like Why We Sing, Silver mm-hmm. and Gold, Melodies from Heaven, were like church. And then he was like, all right, when I stop going to church, then Kirk comes out with this. And like, you know, everybody who doesn't go to church, like, man, you hear that new Kirk? You hear that new Kirk? Because, I mean, this song is beautiful. I love
it. The guys on the roof agree.
Oh, they're rolling.
It's such a
good
song.
This song is good. It gets aggressive sounding at one point.
It does.
I feel like I'm getting yelled at, but in a good way.
Oh, man. I can listen to this all day.
But that's kind of the genius of his career. It's almost like an animation. They can keep making sequels or like The Simpsons for 30 years because...
Yeah.
You don't age, and the same way Kirk Franklin's not the one singing.
Right.
He keeps getting older. Those choirs stay the same
Those
age.
Those choirs stay the same age, yeah.
Well, I was thinking this is probably why he and... Oh, this part's so good. But why, like, that lawsuit happened a little bit, too. Because imagine being the choir that Kirk Franklin mm-hmm. directs or whatever. You're doing most,
you're doing
of, the
most
work.
Of the work. And
yeah.
No credit.
You get no credit, and you're not on the album. You're yeah. not on the posters, probably... And you're the one like hauling ass for everything, no. And then if he doesn't give you royalties on top of that,
that would suck because nobody knows any of their names.
Yeah, they can't. Well, just Tamla Mann, I guess, right?
So who?
she
is
came
she the one
that
sang Silver and Gold?
I don't know. I didn't fact check that, but she is someone who is like a gospel recording artist in her own right, and she does all the Tyler Perry stuff. She starred in a TV show, whereas her and her husband met, I think, in Kirk Franklin's The Family. So that was kind of their origin story. Huh. They're the ones with the Love Project.
Take me to the king.
look up his Instagram. It's so cute.
Oh, well, he's
just
Franklin?
Like, he's just so sweet. Yeah, it's a lot of like sweet wife posts and a lot of jokes about how small he is.
A lot of notes.
He's very
poetry.
Small.
He's 5'5".
Tiny. He's like Kevin Hart small.
Yeah.
He
posted one with him and his wife, and he's like the two tiniest people in the world. It's just, it's so cute.
He knows.
Yeah. He's funny.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Do you? So, like,
this is one where I feel like I'm getting yelled at.
Yeah, that like back and forth.
And then I love how it just keeps getting deeper and deeper. I was in high school when this song came out. This is like 2002, right? 2001, 2002. Yeah. So I was like a sophomore in high school when this song came out. And it's almost like the Jesus Walks type thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where, like, he was like, yo, I've got people in the club singing about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like that. Like, this, people were listening to this, with bass going down the street. Because it would
really?
Bump. Because it would bump, too.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
So it was like a hip-hop song like that people were, like, listening to as a contemporary song.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not didactic in a way where it'd be like, can you turn that Christian stuff off? It's just it's brighter day. It's fine. Yeah.
That seems so hard, just that part, going back and forth and then, like, increasing higher and higher. Maybe it's because I have no rhythm, but it, like, man,
you have rhythm.
It's tough. Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
It's hard. It's hard. And that's something that he does well, because Silver and Gold does that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like at the end of the song, it's just, it's mostly at the end.
And then key change.
So crazy.
Let's get to the end of that one.
So you hear how they saying gold now? By the end of this, there it's just like they're screaming, but it sounds beautiful.
In the midnight hour,
like this song
so
right
pretty.
Here, she is the only singer on it, and nobody knows her name.
Right, all the work.
Now I gotta look up her name so we can give her a little credit. Okay, Kirk Franklin and the Family. It keeps going.
They're still going.
Just go get higher. Go get higher.
What?
Just go get higher.
Stop! We can't go any higher, Kirk. We're running out of room.
To the point where you really can't even understand what they're saying anymore.
They're just going.
That's amazing.
It's beautiful.
And like, then picking in the Saturday Night Live band comes in with the saxophone.
I can't believe that.
This woman's name is Cassandra Cleveland.
Sandra Cleveland?
Cassandra Cleveland. So
Cassandra,
shout out to her. We will
amazing.
Know her name.
Sandra Cleveland.
Cassandra Cleveland.
Oh my gosh. I love that song.
Yeah.
That Melodies and Silver and Gold are my two favorite.
That's great.
Kirk Franklin.
Melodies,
songs.
Carl Tart was really into it. I've been listening to it since we played it on the show.
It
is very good. To the point where, if you're wondering if I spent some of my free time last night looking up YouTube covers of Melodies from Heaven.
Oh, yeah. Did you?
Well,
did you find any?
I found some pretty worthy ones, let's just say. All right. So. Let me see if I can just type these in right here. Uh-oh. Well, this one isn't so much a cover, but it is a mime performance that...
I'm horrified.
So, I guess you would describe this as... I don't know.
Is this us?
Yeah.
It's just like us.
It's three children.
Like two kids in red...
I would be terrified of this.
This is so
the mask that they're wearing.
Scary.
For those of you who can't see what we're seeing right now, it's just three people.
It's so sad.
Bouncing, knee bouncing.
The church is fully lit.
I think they tried to get into it at one point.
They got on like Jabberwocky masks.
Some people are singing along.
It's so quiet.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
There was that one. I did find another one, too.
That's so funny.
While you're finding that, I will say that for me, I mean, gospel music is such a big deal for me because it is like rhythmic. Like, I remember I was talking to somebody, I was at a funeral, and this is, it was, sounds sad, but like, I was emotionless for most of it, just because it was like, I mean, I knew the person, it was sad, but I was just like, man, I don't know. And then, like, somebody came up and sang a Yolanda Adams song. No, this isn't, Yolanda covered it. See, this is the thing I was talking about earlier, where you never know who made it. Yolanda covered it, which is how I know it, but somebody else sang it. It was, I'm going up the yonder, going up the yonder, if anybody asks you, where I'm going. And it was basically a song saying I'm going up to meet God.
Yeah.
And like, I just start bawling because you feel it. Like, it's like it hits you for the first time. Like, oh, this person is gone. And like, the song just like hits you where you feel like, oh yeah, man, they are going up to meet God now.
Well, especially when it's something that is slightly upbeat or on tempo in a way that lacks, that it's not maudlin in nature. There's something that's actually more compelling and direct about that.
Yeah.
Where it's like calling the bluff of Christianity, like, okay, if we believe this, then this is actually fine.
Yeah.
And so that connecting to that, I could see how that could cause that reaction.
It was a joyful thing.
Yeah.
Also sad, but it was a joyful thing. I was like, yeah, I'm sad she's gone, but she's going to a better place type thing. And it didn't hit me until that song came on.
You heard someone tell the story.
Yeah.
And like hitting in your history and like your nostalgia points too, of like that kind of music.
Yeah.
Just be like, oh.
It makes me happy when I hear gospel music. Because it just, it reminds me of the good parts of religion and faith, essentially. Because just the feelings, the old like Negro spiritual feelings too, where you just like, man, my ancestors were singing this as they were trying to escape to a better life. So it's just like all that shit. Like somebody told me that. I told the story to somebody else and it was like, yeah, man, it's because that's ingrained in our DNA, you know? And that's why you start crying when it came on. And I'm just like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, it is literally was our only link to like better. We talked about this earlier. So for me, it's just so uplifting and happy, and it represents everything that's good about religion. Is the music of Christianity and gospel music, and it was always the most fun part of church.
Yeah.
And then the sermon shit came on. It was like, all right, go to sleep, y'all.
It is pretty incalculable though on a cultural level how much we owe everything to gospel music, like invading all the genres and stuff. And then, of course, personally, it's kind of incalculable too.
Yeah.
How much people owe to it.
It is. It's crazy. I mean, hip hop, R&B, soul, all of that has its roots from gospel and jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where most music, probably except metal and country. But even country probably comes from...
Maybe country a little bit.
A little bit.
Metal.
Metal, I'm not sure.
Metal came straight from hell.
Yeah. Metal came from the opposite.
Speaking of straight from hell, listen to this.
This is a band?
What is
this? This is a marching band doing melodies from heaven.
No way.
Here we go. Oh, it's coming. Hallelujah. Glory, glory.
Oh, I can't wait for it to drop.
Here it comes.
I fuck with that. I just imagine an old deacon with his hat on just like bouncing, like just doing like scoop dancing.
So great. Wait, get to the
take me to your arms.
The keychain. That's awesome.
Okay,
the like sparse crowd around them.
You can hear people coughing.
Poor marching bands. They're working so hard.
That's pretty damn dope.
So good.
That's dope.
Okay, one more.
It almost feels like I'm hearing words.
This is a 12th grade vocal class.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no.
These are all white kids.
There's one. There's one black gentleman there.
I see. I want to hear what they got.
Listen. There's an announcement over the
But are they singing that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Sweat.
And she's controlling them pretty well. But yes, I think there's one black man in it.
Take me!
Yeah. And then they pan over. There is one faculty member who's probably in his mid-50s. Okay, I lied. Here's the last one.
Kevin.
This isn't really a cover. It's more of a reinterpretation.
Oh, man. Kevin.
It's Bert and Ernie. Who's
that? A homemade Ernie puppet?
It's an Ernie puppet. And he's Kirk Franklin.
This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's just Sesame Street singing melodies
it's
from heaven.
Puppets. Like a Brady Bunch grid.
Yeah. This is pretty damn dope. And Ernie is Kirk.
Ernie is so into it.
And Ernie is losing his mind. He's dancing. They're pretty good with the mouth movements.
I like how respectful Big Bird is.
They all are just... This is great. Oh, I can't wait for this fight. Hold on.
Here we go.
This is pretty fucking great.
I like that Ernie's like pacing back and forth in his little bar.
Oh my lord. Oh, this that is one of the funniest things.
This is why I love the internet, man.
Oh my god.
We'll post a link to that.
Yes, you have to post a link to that.
I was by myself in my apartment last night, 12:30.
Losing your mind.
I was like, "This, what a gift."
That is amazing.
Just like the precision with which, okay, and Ernie's kind of got to go like this at certain parts.
Yeah. I mean, they had him dancing how Kirk would dance. Yeah. Just going like, all over the place.
Grover, Elmo, Big Bird, and Ernie.
The perfect cross-section of your interests.
Yes, exactly.
That's amazing.
Oh, boy.
That was worth it. That was worth it.
So good.
I haven't listened to, because I don't listen to my own show. So I haven't listened to the when we covered Melodies from Heaven on the church episode.
I wanna hear it.
It's probably so bad. I wonder.
We should play
this
it.
Makes me want to hear like how it was, because we had a, you know, do you guys know Greg Smith?
No.
Okay.
No.
We had somebody just straight up come in and play piano for us.
Nice.
So we didn't do it to a backing track.
Oh wow.
And we just did it
That's
in studio.
So great.
I wanna.
See if you can pull it up.
Yeah, can you find it?
Oh, I can find it.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. That white choir reminded me of my own choir experience, because we had a black choir director who was so great, and I wanted nothing but his approval.
Was he frustrated with you in particular?
Maybe. But I remember him trying to like get us to do, we did a lot of like traditional choir songs, but he would try to get us to do like a gospel song one time. Mm-hmm. I remember so much of it was just being like, because it was like a bunch of white kids and then a bunch of like exchange Korean students who never tried at anything.
Love it.
So getting like anything close to what he knew was just so hard.
That's so funny.
We even did like an African song one time.
Shadido, keep out the devil.
No.
Okay. Do you know that song?
No. Do that.
No.
It was written by a white man.
No.
Oh, that makes sense. Oh, man.
On the Carnival Cruise.
Yeah, that sounds like a Caribbean song. Was it a Caribbean
theme? Yeah.
Was it the theme song to Gullah Gullah Island?
This is Nick Jr.
In that bright sunny weather, let's all go.
Wait, do you have it?
So this is, we did it. It was four people in the choir, and then me and Edgar.
Okay.
So it wasn't a true choir.
Amazing.
But, and then somebody playing piano.
So we're going to hear everybody.
You're going to... And we just did a fake church service.
We need to get in a choir again.
Melodies from heaven.
Okay, that sounds good. Rain
down. You definitely got the first part.
Melodies from heaven. Rain down.
Rain down. This is just a Melodies from Heaven podcast now.
Take me in your arms and hold me close.
Hey, better than I could do.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time I'm hearing all of this.
And it's not bad.
This is insane.
What part were you doing?
I don't remember. Eventually, I became Kurt.
Okay.
So I was like, nobody's doing it.
Because you wanted to coach.
To do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go.
We couldn't do it full out because
that's so great.
Because we're on iHeart, they was like, yeah, man, we gonna flag that shit immediately.
We will
if you
take it down.
Yeah. So we had to do like we had to kinda karaoke it a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is why I was just like, one, two.
Oh, man. Well, let's get to our final judgments about Kirk Franklin and the family and Cassandra Cleveland
and GP.
Yeah.
The way this works is we'll give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down, a holy toast or holy roast. Holy toast, we send Kirk Franklin all the way to heaven.
Heaven bound.
Come on. It's holy roast, we send him to hell. Or if we're not sure, we put him in the space between. I feel like we'll be sure.
We don't need an option.
Let's go. Let's start with Caroline.
Holy toast, all the way up to my loud roof. Love this guy. Love this music. Had a great time. I listened to it while I was in a bath last night, and it felt great.
That's awesome.
Take me in a bath and bubble
splash it around.
Up.
Yeah. That's
puppet,
amazing.
Puppet arms. No, it was great. He's so interesting, and I'm so confused by him at a lot of levels, and like figuring out how he did its performance and his branding and everything. But that's it. I love his music, and I love what he brought to gospel music and like the reinvention and new music and everything. Mm-hmm. He's great.
Yeah.
The birth and the rebirth.
Yeah.
Didn't he have an album called Rebirth?
I think. That's right.
Yeah. And then he had one called The Afterbirth. Disgusting.
The placenta of Kirk Franklin.
The placenta of Kirk.
It was gross.
Is it Holy Toast? Is
Holy that Toast up? With the thumbs up,
of course,
up, yeah.
Man. I'm going Holy Toast all the way. Two slices of toast.
Hell yeah.
Two slices of Holy
two
Toast.
Double toast. We've never
double
gotten
toast.
That before.
Yeah.
Sourdough.
Wow. Ooh, good sour. Thick Texas toast. yeah, man. I mean, he is, there are so many great gospel artists. That you know by name, but he is a link between the gospel world and, for lack of a better term, the secular section of music, where people are like, I remember I went to some conference and Will Smith was there and Kirk Franklin played. So I've seen him perform live like two or three times as well.
Wow.
He's very fun in concert because he's just a hype man.
I bet.
And Will Smith was like, yeah, you know, I don't listen to gospel music, but whenever I need my gospel music, I need my little bit of fix, I get it from this man. And then Kirk Franklin like came out. So it is very much like that. Like, he is a link where people who don't necessarily listen to a lot of gospel music can get that feel and kind of reintroduce themselves back into listening to shit that I know they grew up on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he is so influential in that respect. And, you know, he watches porn from beginning to end. Who doesn't respect
like
that?
Like a freak.
Who doesn't respect a man who can admit that?
That is such a good reputation. That's so hard. To be able to, you know, like, span both sides and that no one's like, this guy is so religious that I can't stand him, you know?
Widely command respect.
But like, oh, no, he's religious enough, but like his music just stands by itself. It's so good.
Yeah.
And so that's tough to do.
He doesn't even sing.
And he doesn't even
It's like he gamed the system.
He gamed the system so hard.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's genius.
Good grief. Yeah. Well, I will, too, give him a holy toast. I grew up with Stomp and Revolution, and those were, I think, the only two songs of his I ever listened to.
Mm-hmm.
But then getting into the more, quote-unquote, traditional stuff like Kirk Franklin and the Family and that second album, like What You Looking For, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
But the number four. I just like him a lot. I like how he comes off in interviews. And I like, by the way, if you want to see, this is not on YouTube, but you can find like Daily Motion or something.
Mm.
Kind of a, oh God.
Oh my God.
Someone doesn't like Daily Motion upstairs.
It sounds like someone ate it.
I'm sure, like, to the listener, it just kind of sounds like faint little bumps and boops, but it's an earthquake.
My house is shaking.
The performance of Ultralight Beam on SNL a couple years ago, because it was Kanye. It was Chance, and it was him.
Yeah.
And it is, like, such a strange perform it. Parts of it are very moving, but he like arranged and conducted the choir. Wow. And then he comes on and then he does like the prayer, and he does say like, Jesus is the only way, and you have to pray to him. And then it's
and like yeah.
It's one of the weirdest things because everyone's a game all around, and then Kanye's just kind of like mumbling, even with the auto tune kind of off key, where he's like, "Well, I boom," and he forgets the words at one point.
Good lord, Kanye.
But what struck me about that is it felt like it was like to Andre to Kirk with the gospel baton. It felt like Kirk to Chance with it, and that's what gospel music looks like now, and like 2016, 17, 18, 19. Yeah. So listen to Chance the Rapper too. He's a Christian.
I mean, this whole podcast was just to get you to listen to Chance, really.
Hey.
Yeah, that's where we're
Chicago
landing.
Guy.
Oh, hey, that's right.
Listen to Chance, y'all.
But you can go to @ChristianFunPod and you can give it a roast or toast. Get out there and...
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Should I switch it up with like a Beto thing or something?
That was
Warren.
Great, though.
Warren.
Elizabeth Warren.
I am a Native American. All right, let's bring it down. Let's bring it down to a quieter space. I don't know what like the gospel music equivalent to this kind of music would be. It would be like low piano, I feel like.
Yeah, just organs.
Yeah, because this is like a very contemporary worship, like Hillsong-y understanding of like, and now the altar call.
Just go, if you want to know what the gospel version of this is, just go listen to the last 15, 20 minutes of any preacher's sermon.
Yeah, that's true.
And whatever they're playing in that is this is kind of like the gospel version of this.
Yeah. Kind of the last act.
Yeah.
Jacquees, on this show, we don't promote ourselves or lift up our projects. Okay. Or no, we do lift them up. We don't promote ourselves. We lift them up.
Okay.
I've only done this show 79 times. I don't know how it goes.
Listen. It takes a while.
It takes a village. Let's start with Caroline.
You can then promote me to the Lord at Caroline's Farts on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm going to lift up a show I've been loving called The Other Two. Our guest Guy Branum writes on it. But it is so funny.
And our guest Joel Kim Booster writes on it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. It is a great show. I paid for that show. I bought it off of Amazon Prime. I wanted to watch it so bad, and it's so good. I highly recommend it if anyone wants just a really good comedy in their lives. Very inclusive too.
Love it.
Yeah. Hey,
so I'm lifting up something that I want
your
people
social
to check
media
out.
Handle.
Yourself, your project,
Culture Kings podcast,
him. And then anything you're enjoying in pop culture. That
you're not doing
to
it
share.
For the approval of man. You're doing.
I'm
it
doing it for the approval of the man upstairs.
That's right, of the man.
At Jacquees Neal on all social. Lifting that up to you, Heavenly Father. GP! At Culture Kings Pod or Culture Kings Pod in general on iHeartRadio. Go check that out. We're doing a lot of weird shit that needs to be lifted up, and I love it. And you can also find me. I'm an actor. You know, I'm Maul Knight at UCB. Come check that out.
Hey!
That's always a fun time. Something that I think is pretty dope right now.
By the time this episode comes out, it'll probably be the movie Us.
Yes, Us should. Go watch Us, y'all. I'm also, if you haven't yet, I've been lifting this up for a few weeks. Go watch Umbrella Academy.
Oh, the Umbrella Academy.
So good.
What is that?
Ellen Page and a monkey dance around. That's all I know about this show.
Yes. It's a show on Netflix. I guarantee you it'll be one of your favorite shows you've watched in a while.
I'll watch that.
It's so good. So, yeah.
X-Men meets Wes Anderson-y, kind of. It's kind of like a Marvel movie, Caroline.
Yeah.
Can we finish up here?
Okay, yeah.
I watched the first episode and you would be like, I'm going to be just sitting on the couch for 10 hours.
Awesome.
It's great.
That was kind of my plan for today anyway.
There you go. You got something to watch now.
Okay, great.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I will lift up Jenny Lewis's new album, On the Line. Ooh. She is one of the only people who everything she does I like. She's never had like, not for me. Mm-hmm. And I feel a kinship and companionship with her. You know, because of
the noggin.
Yeah.
Noggin problem.
The hair problem. The noggin problem. Red hair is not a problem. And it's that sort of language that makes us feel lesser than. If your child is afflicted with a noggin problem, here, there's a hotline
for you.
Redheads
are known to be very sensitive as well.
Oh, man. Can I also say you guys started the podcast talking about Chris Arbach? What's his name?
Archibald?
John Arbuckle.
I was just going to say, and I had no idea who that was. Who is that?
He's the guy in Garfield.
Oh, the comic
He's the owner
guy?
Of Garfield.
Okay.
He's you like didn't the know mullet.
Garfield's owner?
I'm sorry. I was thinking like, man, this must be a really funny dude.
I mean,
I gotta
he
go
is
watch some
way.
Of his stuff.
Showtime at the Apollo with John Arbuckle. So I'm dating again. That's weird. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun every week. We do an episode every Friday. You can leave us a review on iTunes. Every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. What's this month's charity? It's the month of April now. We'll figure it out later. But for now, Charity Water's a good charity. Jacquees, thank you so much
thank
for joining
so
us
much,
on
man.
This show.
Thank you, Jacquees.
We're going to let you go see Jordan Peele now.
Thank you so much.
Tell him we say hello.
I'll tell him what's up. I'll
check in and see how
up.
His soul is doing. And maybe you can
I may
save
be scared
him.
For yeah. a while. Yeah. So I may just sleep outside in the sun.
Yeah.
Because I'll be scared of the dark.
Just stay awake at night and yeah. sleep in the sun.
This is going to be my fiance is in for some intense cuddling for the next few days.
Intense
mostly out of
cuddling.
Fear.
Shaky
don't let me go, baby.
Cuddling.
Don't let me go.
Have you ever had a
shaky.
Violent cuddle? Well, kind of.
It's too tight.
There's nothing left to say except for an all of Pod's people said,
amen. Amen.
What song would you like us to go out on? What Kirk Franklin song?
Ooh, what Kirk Franklin song? Oh, man, I didn't think about this. How about Hosanna?
Hosanna? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's pull that up.
Yeah.
I like that half of his albums are just live albums, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me hear you make some Holy Ghost crazy noise right now.
Yes! Jam!
Oh!
Come on!
Oh, this is the one where he says, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Zion, clap those hands with me.
Is it about
come
to drop?
On, come on. All God's people. Come on. Come on, Mike.
Oh. Didn't expect that to drop, did you?
This must be a strange social experiment to watch two white people listen to a Kirk Franklin song for the first time. Like,
wow,
this is pretty funky. Oh, come on. This rocks.
Come on.
Come on.
What's his name?
Zed forever.
All right, we'll see you next week on the show. Goodbye.
Say it again, say it again, say it again.
Say it again, say it again, say it again.
What a contribution. That's all he does is just, again.
Not my tempo.
What a guy.
A little louder now.
Hosanna. Verse 2.
Oh, hey, it's me and McGrant. Next week on GCF, Kevin and Caroline are playing a fun new game with a fun new guest. I'm not telling you anymore. I don't owe it to you. I don't owe you anything. I'm Amy Mother McGrant. Who the hell are you? Listener? I'm creator. Your odd. Sorry. You know what? Amy was getting a little power tripped out. My sincere apologies. But anyway, it's going to be fun. You'll like it. It's next week on GCF. Please forgive me. Amy, Mom, Grant, over and out.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.